And so I'd like to start today off with a great story told by author Robert Fulghum in his wonderful classic book, All I Really Need to Know, I Learned in Kindergarten. I don't know about you, but that has been my Bible. It's a great way to set up today's lesson, that which I've called Hide and Seek. In the early dry dark of an October Saturday evening, the neighborhood children are playing hide and seek. How long since I played hide and seek? I could become a part of that game in a moment if invited. Adults don't play hide and seek. Not for fun, anyway. Too bad. Did you have a kid in your neighborhood who always hid so good that nobody could find him? We did. After a while, we would give up on him and go off, leaving him to rot wherever he was. Sooner or later, he would show up all mad because we didn't keep looking for him. And we would get mad back because he wasn't playing the game the way it was supposed to be played. There's hiding and there's finding, we'd say. And he'd say it was hide and seek, not hide and give up. And we'd all yell about who made the rules and who cared about who anyway and how we wouldn't play with him anymore if he didn't get it straight and knew who needed him anyway and things like that. Hide and seek and yell. No matter what, though, the next time he would hide too well again. He's probably still hidden somewhere for all I know. A man I know found out last year he had terminal cancer. He was a doctor and knew he was dying, and he didn't want to make his family and friends suffer through that with him. So he kept his secret and died. Everybody said how brave he was to bear his suffering in silence and not tell anybody and so on and so forth. But privately, his family and friends said how angry they were that he didn't need them, didn't trust their strength, and it hurt that he didn't say goodbye. He hid too well. Getting found would have kept him in the game, hide and seek, grown-up style, wanting to hide, needing to be sought, confused about being found. I don't want anyone to know. What will people think? I don't want to bother anyone. Better than hide and seek, though, I like the game called sardines. In sardines, the person who is it goes and hides, and everybody goes looking for him. And when you find him, you get in with him and hide there with him. And pretty soon, everybody is hiding together, all stacked in a small space like puppies in a pile. And pretty soon, someone giggles and somebody laughs, and everybody gets found. Medieval theologians even described God in hide-and-seek terms, calling him Deus absconditus. But me, I think old God is a sardine player and will be found the same way everybody gets found in the game of sardines, by the sound of laughter of those heaped together at the end. So I love that story. And the idea of hide and seek, you know, only one person has a title, unlike a baseball game where you've got a pitcher and a catcher and a first baseman and a shortstop. In hide and seek, only one person has the title, and what's that? It. Right, it. And the whole idea of the game is to be what? Not it. To not be found. But, you know, the one who is it sometimes gets to sing that wonderful hide and seek chant. Right, ole ole oxen free. You know, someone once told me that that was an ancient Hebrew chant that means, may all the oxen be liberated. Only kidding. No, only kidding. But what it really means is that we can come home to God. We can come home and it's safe. You know, come out, wherever you are. It's safe to come home. It's safe here. So come on home. It's safe here. Isn't that what we're all seeking? We're all seeking a safe place where we can come home to God, where we can come home to ourselves. That's what we're seeking. And just a couple months ago, during our day of discovery, you told us through the interviews and through the presentations that one thing that you value so much about Unity of Bellevue is that it's a safe place. It's safe here to come home to God. It's safe to go digging deep within yourself to discover who it is you really are. Unity of Bellevue, it's safe here. But many of us, I know and I'm sure, have parts of ourselves that we would rather keep in hiding. All right, those parts that we're not particularly proud of, you know, I don't know about you, but do you have some things that you wish you would have done a little differently? Or am I the only person? But there are parts, no, right? No, thank you. But there's parts of, you know, but when we're not safe, we keep hiding. And when we keep hiding, we begin to build up this solid wall around us. And we say it's for protection. But the problem is that the more we keep hiding behind this wall, the farther from home we get. The farther from experiencing, you know, who we really are. And or experiencing authentic relationships, of being in real community, of allowing another person to see who we really are. And so there are some questions that we can ask ourselves to help us come out of hiding. And that's what I want to do today. I want to explore four life questions that I feel if we can look at these questions, it will help us step out of hiding behind that wall. Now, some of us never ask these questions, and some of us don't even know that there are these questions to ask. And so here I want to share with you four life questions that we need to ask ourselves as spiritual seekers coming out of hiding. So life question number one is, who am I? Who am I? Bill explored a little bit of that during the meditation, asking to sit and think about, who are you? You know, am I this 59-year-old female? Am I this profession, this calling that is known as ministry? You know, who are you? Who am I? It's so much more than just what we label ourselves to be. And you've heard me say quite a bit that you're spiritual beings having a human experience. We are spiritual beings having a human experience. And within us there is this tremendous power and this tremendous potential, but we have to make ourselves available to it. We have to make ourselves, you know, keep plugged in to our source, or else we'll go around reacting to, you know, the circumstances in the outer world rather than really coming from that realm of spirit that is within us. You know, focus on what is eternal and true. Focus on the idea of the presence and the power of love, light, peace, God, whatever you call it. This presence and power that is everywhere present, all powerful, all knowing. Focus on that, because that is the truth of who you are. And understand this one principle, that if you can get this idea that I'm going to present to you, it will change, radically change your life. And the idea is this, that you never, ever get what you pray for. As startling as that may sound, you always get what you pray from. Big difference. May not sound that way, but a huge difference. If you can really understand that you never get what you pray for, you get what you pray from. So if you're praying from a limited, narrow point of view or a limited, negative perspective, then no matter how long and how loud you pray, if your core beliefs are stay the same, then you'll get more of the same, because what you're praying from has not shifted. And so we need to understand that within us there is this presence, this power that is love. And that we need to start believing and praying from this place of peace, love, light, and joy within us. Because when we pray from that, we become it. And when we become it, then we already are the fullness of God, right here and right now. And that is the truth of who we are. Number two, life question number two is, how do I love? How do I love? Have you ever asked yourself that question? You know, how do I love? You know, we look around us and everywhere there is the beauty of love. We just have to open our eyes to it. You know, most of us go around with closed eyes. We go around sleepwalking. I call it spiritual amnesia. But we need to wake up and we need to declare, you know, I want to catch that vision of this incredible presence of love. I want to have that insight of knowing that I am this love revealed. I want all of my conversations to flow in the direction of love, and I want to walk confidently and with courage in the direction of love. And when we do, we then will come out of hiding. And when we come out of hiding, we will begin to see this love and beauty that is everywhere around us, this infinite potential and possibilities, dynamic good, this infinite opportunities that we have been blocking because we just haven't seen it. We haven't seen it. There is so much love and so much good that is seeking to flow forth from you, but we block it, thinking about what should be and what shouldn't be, that we totally miss out on what is. And the nowness of this moment can't get to you, can't get your attention, because you're talking too much and whining and complaining about how somebody shouldn't be doing this or somebody shouldn't be doing that. We need to stand in this place of knowing who we are, of knowing that there is this tremendous love that is flowing through us. We need to shush and be quiet and be calm and really go within and listen deeply, deeply within for that still small voice that says, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God in the midst of you. That presence and that power is in the midst of you. And when we know that, when we can plug into that, we will be open to those wonderful qualities of love, peace, and joy, because we'll be available to it. We have made ourselves available to it. And so our third life question that we need to ask ourselves is, how do I live? How do I live? You know, the shaman goes out into another dimension of living and brings back to the community a great gift so that that community can evolve and know who and discover who and what it is. Jesus said to us, in my Father's house there are many mansions. I prepare a place and I return. The quantum physicists, they tell us that in this unified field of awareness, there are many dimensions of infinite possibilities. This isn't it. This isn't the only reality. There are multiple levels of possibilities. And so our job is to go out to these other dimensions in prayer, in sitting in the quiet, listening in the stillness, and going, traveling to those places of absolute good, that realm of pure spirit that we connect to in deep meditation and silence, and bring back into this reality that peace, love, and joy, and all good, and bring it back. I mean, why live your life dimensionally challenged? You know, be open. Don't get stuck in this outer world of reaction all the time. In God's house, there are many, many mansions, many levels of consciousness, many realities happening right now. Don't get stuck. Don't get so narrowed in on this is the only way it can be. Open your eyes and see a new realm all around you. See with new eyes. We are not here to influence God. We're here to allow God to influence us. I think that's the difference between religion and spirituality. It's that we're not here to influence God. You know, we'd all be in trouble if we could influence God, right? But we're here to allow God, that presence, to influence our life and to know that there is this wonderful place of knowing that that God is the same no matter what. Yesterday, today, tomorrow, God is never changing. And then God is always revealing itself as love, peace, joy, and light. And when you make yourself available to those qualities, your life changes. It absolutely changes, and you'll no longer just be living in the outer world. You'll be living in that realm of the kingdom of heaven, that realm of ever-expanding, ever-increasing good. And you'll live your life the way God meant you to live your life from the inside out. Einstein once said, "Your imagination is a preview of coming events in your life." Don't you love that? Your imagination is a preview of coming events in your life. You have the power to change your life. You have the power to allow divine destiny to unfold in the most amazing ways that you can imagine. You know, imagine the kind of life you want to be living and then go out and live it. That's what you're meant to do. Imagine. That's our third unity principle. Whatever we hold in our mind, in our imagination, we begin to attract that into our lives, and our lives begin to manifest that. And so imagine the life that you want to live and then begin to live it. And so our fourth and final question, life question, is, will I give my gifts to the family of the earth? You know, will I give my gifts to the family of the earth? When you're hiding, you're not connecting with other people. But when you begin to start seeking, you begin to step into God, you begin to step into sacred service, you start volunteering, you start giving of yourself. You become a light for our children in our youth program, and you volunteer to work with our kids on Sunday, sharing your talents. You know, you stand at the door and you smile and you hug people as you greet them as when they come in. You know, you're at the back of the sanctuary and you hand someone a bulletin as an usher when they come into the sanctuary. You know, you help people connect to God by singing in the choir. You know, you lift people in prayer by being a prayer chaplain. You join the hospitality team and you begin to prepare coffee and refreshments to help people connect after service in the friendship room. You know, you beautify the grounds by participating in a Blue Jean Sunday. These are just some of the ways that you can share your unique gifts with this spiritual community. But begin to see the life that you want to live, the service that you want to give, the generosity that you wish to see flowing through you, the creativity that you wish to see flowing from you. And don't just think, what can I get? But always be thinking, what can I give? How can I give more of myself? Because it's in the giving that we receive. You've got to give it away. So begin to see the life that you want to be living and then begin to walk in that world. You know, say, this is how I want to feel. This is the love that I want to experience. Begin to see it. And then you be it. So come home, come out wherever you are. Stop hiding. Shine your light. Be the love that you want to see in the world. Don't just think about it, but start acting as if. Be that presence. Be that light. Be that love. And don't describe what you see. See what you describe. See what you start describing the kind of life you wanted to live and then begin to see it. And if you don't know what that is, make it up. Just make it up. The quantum physicists make it up. You know, Einstein made it up. Why not you? And don't live your life so narrow and limited from a narrow and limited perspective. That's boring. Don't you agree? It's boring. Jesus, Gandhi, Buddha, Martin Luther King Jr. didn't live that way. And you shouldn't live that way either. And so wake up. Wake up. See the life that you want to be living now. You've got to be present to win. And are you hiding? Yeah, you've got to be present to win. Are you? There's a joke about the lottery. You know, somebody said, praise to God, God, let me win the lottery. And a voice comes down, buy a ticket. You know, We say we want to be a certain way or we want to live a certain kind of life. But you got to participate. And you have to start acting as if. You have to start describing what it is and then begin to see it. And so, are you hiding behind the busyness of your daily life? Or are you willing to participate fully in the journey that God has placed before you? You know, we are here to shine our light. We're here to shine it, not to hide it. And as we sang in our opening song, I am a light, we are a light, you are a light in this world. Our job now is to go out and let it shine. God bless you.